Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time here from the Lighthouse. You've tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION, 1430 AM, 92.7 FM, and also in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome all of you in this broadcast time together. You others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Bring your mouse up over that, Messages from the Lighthouse, and Current Media will show up. Then click on Current Media, and it takes you to the broadcast for this morning and for the last part of the month. And I'm glad to be able to share with you, however you tuned us in, it's just good to be a part of your life this morning as I share with you the message that God has laid upon my heart. I do need to say thank you to the sponsors that take care of the broadcast. I'd like to begin today with Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, and Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area. Gloria Spencer, she's from the Orleans area, in honor of her husband, in memory of her husband, Spence, that was his nickname, and I appreciate her support so very much. Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville, and Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, from Dayton, Tennessee. Also like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church, which I do every week, and are at the Shiloh campus. We begin Saturday night at 6:30, Sunday morning 9 o'clock in a contemporary service at 10:45. In the Greenville campus, which is located at the Old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And I just would give you an invitation to attend any one of those services. We're looking for our new senior pastor at this time. And so a pastor that used to be in Greenville for about 12 or 13 years is Jim Lacey. He's our intern pastor at this period of time. Well, that takes care of most of the things I need to do. We're going to finish up our messages this morning on proclaiming the Word of God. Today I want us to talk about the kingdom of God is very near. It's very near to your heart and life. It's very near to Jesus establishing his kingdom here on planet Earth. And you know what? He's prepared, and he wants us to be prepared so that we won't miss out on the kingdom of God. And as we come into the Word of God this morning, we just be reminded again that God uses simple little things to illustrate his kingdom and what it means in our lives and what it can mean in our lives and how sometimes it is rejected. And yet at the same time, this one Jesus is reaching out to you. He's reaching out to me today, and that makes it very special. We got a song that kind of gives a picture too often of the church today, and that's the idea that he's telling us that his house is full, but nobody wants to seem to work in the vineyard, and that's kind of what we're going to be addressing today. So we'll get ready to listen to this song, and it'll kind of prepare our hearts and minds for our message time. And looking forward to sharing with you what God has shared with us in his word. My clicker didn't want to take off just then, so let me try it again. And there we go. And good morning to you. And as we listen to this message of song, and I'll be right back and share the message of the word of God.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Come ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me,
unto me.
Come unto me,
and I
will give you rest.
I will give you rest.
Take my wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care. New unholy feelings struggle in your breast. Bring your case to Jesus, He will give you rest. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you claim His best. In the Holy Spirit, He will give you rest. Come unto me,
unto me.
Come unto me,
and
I will give you rest.
I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you.
In all the messages so far, we've been talking about the realization that God is saying to us, come to Him. Come to Him. Come to Him and you'll find rest for your soul. Come to Him and you'll find that He's a good teacher to your life to show you the things that you need to know. Now today we're going to realize that God is saying to us, go. You've come to me, now go. Go with the message that I have, that the kingdom of God is near to your heart and life, that the kingdom of God that He's going to establish here on planet Earth is getting very close to happening. And so we need to realize we got a message to go with, and we're going to talk about that. But before we do, I'd like to remember the listening audience in prayer. You're my congregation this morning, folks, and you're why I'm over here at the Lighthouse at 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning to share this message with you. And I'm here to have a prayer for you and whatever it is that you're going through in your individual life. So let's just bow for a few moments. Dear Father, once again we come to you on behalf of the listening audience. I pray your special blessing, no matter where they've tuned us in, that your special blessing would be upon any person that's listening to my voice this morning, that you would meet their every need according to your will. I would like to remember them in prayer and ask, dear Father, that you would encourage them if they're discouraged. I pray that you would lead them and direct them if they need direction. I pray if they have financial needs or spiritual needs or physical needs, emotional needs, dear Father, that you would meet their needs this morning. Meet them at the point of their need. And Father, I thank you so much that your Son never leaves us where He finds us. He takes us forward in the kingdom of God. And we want to learn about that this morning as we are told to go and send this message. And so I pray, Father, again for the listening audience, that if they've got some loved ones that they need to share this message with, of that Jesus loves them and cares for them, that you would be with them as they do it, I pray, in that wonderful name of Jesus and for His sake, amen. What a privilege it's been to share with you these 4 weeks on descriptions of the kingdom of God. But as we come to this morning's message, we realize that God is reminding us that when we have come to know this one Jesus, we have a privilege and we also have a responsibility to carry this message to others that may not know Him as of yet. I love it in 1 Peter where he said that, you know, always set the Lord apart in your life and always be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks the reason of hope that you have in this one Jesus. And then he mentions, and do it with gentleness and do it with tremendous respect as you share the message. I'm not asking you to go out and do some things that God would have you to do in such a way that you could be encouraged, but just the idea that we're supposed to carry the message of God out. You notice that my voice still has some trouble. It's been a long time, but I tell you, folks, I coughed for about almost 3 weeks, and some of those coughs felt like they came from my toes, and I got to tell you, my voice has been a little bit hurt because of that, and I'm trusting that's all that it is, and that will just lead and direct me according to his divine will. Well, let's get started with the message this morning. The kingdom of God is near. And God is prepared, and he wants you to be prepared. For the foundation for this week's message, I want us to think of God as the God of preparation. When we think of from the human mind, we might say within our hearts and minds, well, when Adam and Eve sinned, that God had to do something to get man set up to have a way of having forgiveness of sin. But, you know, I want us to share this morning that I believe in the wisdom of God of as he created the world, as he created everything that's in the world, I believe he had you and I on his mind. I believe we are on his heart as he created the world. I believe I can say with a bit of confidence this morning that we were a twinkle in his eye as he created the sun, the moon, the stars, as he did all the things. Listen to what is recorded in the book of Proverbs. It's speaking about wisdom. But wisdom, he says, is a thing that comes from God. The Lord had already possessed me long ago when his way began. Before any of his works, I was appointed from everlasting, from the first, before the earth began. I was born before there were seas, before there were springs filled with water. I was born before the mountains were settled into places and before the hills, when he had not yet made the land or the fields or the first dust of the world. When he set up the heavens, I was there. When he traced the horizons of the surface of the ocean, when he established the skies above, when he determined the currents of the ocean, when he set a limit for the sea and the waters would not overstep this command, when he traced the foundations of the earth, I was beside him as the master craftsman. I made him happy day after day. I rejoiced in the front of him all the time, formed joy in the habitats of the world, and delighted in the human race. It's talking about wisdom being there with God, the wisdom that God can do, and the mystery of this wisdom. But God is reminding us, I believe, through this portion of Scripture, because he speaks about it in the New Testament in a little different way. He says, it is a wisdom that has been hidden, which God had planned for our glory before the world began. He said, this wisdom that we've been talking about is the wisdom of God that he planned for our glory. Did you hear that? He planned it for our glory. Not one of the rulers of this world has known it. If they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. He said, you know what? If they would have understood, they wouldn't have killed the Lord Jesus. But that was in the plan of God, and we know that. So we need to realize that God is reminding us that this thing of creation, he had you and I in our hearts and mind. I love what it says in this portion of Scripture. If you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here on this planet Earth, knowing that you were not redeemed by corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times by you. Isn't that beautiful what God is saying? You know what he's saying is this one, Jesus, was crucified before the foundation of the world. It isn't just as though when Adam and Eve sinned, God said, now what am I going to do? What am I going to do? No, he had a plan, even before the creation of the world, that involved you and I. He had a plan, even before the creation of the world, that involved his Son, the Lord Jesus, and what Jesus was going to do for each and every one of us. God prepared this kingdom before the world began. We need to get a hold of that. Because of the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of his Spirit, he's now revealed that this kingdom was revealed to you. And even though we know now, that's what Jesus had in mind, but God goes on to say, and ear eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, a mind has not imagined what the Lord God has prepared for them that love him. I love that. You see, as an unbeliever, you have no idea what the Christian life is all about. And when we first start going, walking with Jesus, we have no idea what the Christian life is all about. It is only as we come to him and continue to come to him and walk with him day after day and year after year that God reveals what that kingdom of God is like for each one of us. I believe it's good that we love the Lord Jesus when we first get acquainted with him because he gave himself upon the cross for our sins. But as we walk along and we raise our individual lives from a child or from a time that we accepted this one Jesus and we continue to walk with him, all of a sudden we find out that God and his Son, the Lord Jesus, has so many spiritual blessings for us we can't even imagine. And then you know what's on top of that? We can't even imagine what he's prepared for us after death takes place. Death is a serious thing in our lives. Death is a changing thing in our lives. But God has reminded us that his Son Jesus has victory over death. And Jesus has promised eternal life. And this eternal life is through this one, the Lord Jesus. So let's continue on with this idea of what God has prepared and what he wants to do in our life. In the book of James, God is describing that all of God's creation was of everything that God created. It says his prized possession, his number one thing was God. You know what's number one in God's life? What's number one in God's heart? It's not the sun, the moon, the stars. This time of the year, it really begins to get beautiful. It's been slow coming this year, but we're getting a lot of colors now. My wife and I are hoping to go north for a day or so and see some of the beautiful colors besides what there is here. But you know what? My dear brothers and sisters, God said, don't be fooled. Everything God presented and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, who made the sun, the moon, the stars. The Father doesn't change like the sifting shadows produced by the sun or the moon. God decided to give us all this through his word to make us the most important of all of his creation. Did you hear that? James 1:16-18. You are the most important of all of God's creation. Now, when you think about that, you think especially what he was talking about, the sun, the moons, and the stars. You see, we're looking at the same moon. We're looking at the same sun. We're looking at the same stars that anybody looked at that's ever been on planet Earth. And God is reminding, the sun is important. The moon is important. The stars are important. But listen, he says, you're more important than the sun, moon, and the stars. It's for you. That's why he created the world. Then he reminds us that before creation, he had a plan. And his plan was to bring about the kingdom of God. And this plan, I just need to reinstate this as I did last week. He's reminding us that by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest you and I could boast. But listen to this now, folks. Just like he created the world for us, now he says, you are my creation, for you are my workmanship. The human person is God's workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus for some good works for us to do. And God prepared these good works long before you and I were even born. He had things he wanted us to do. So as we prepare, as we proclaim the kingdom of God, we see this not something that just happened in a moment of time. It's something that's been in the heart of God forever. And we need to listen to the story that one day Jesus told the people. He tells us that there was a time when he wanted us to realize that there was a king. And this king will say to his house, to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now listen to what he says is going to be the evidence that you have been prepared from the foundation of the world. It's not that you have become something big, but what you do with your life. For I was hungry, Jesus said, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, Jesus said, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come unto you? Then the king will answer, inasmuch as you've done it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know what God is saying? This kingdom that he has established long before the world was formed was going to be a kingdom of people being willing to do things to help others. It's a reminder again, I'll probably say this a couple more times, that we need to love God, but we need to love our fellow man as well. He reminds us that we need to humble ourselves before him, because inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these of mine, you have done it unto me. Then that king goes on and talks about those on his left hand. He said, then he shall say to those on his left hand, depart from me. Depart from me. You're cursed. Depart from me unto an eternal fire. You know that hell was never made for human beings. Listen to what it says. Eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, Jesus said, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not come to me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and you did not visit me. And in prison, you did not visit me. And all of a sudden, they'll answer unto the king and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Listen to the king's answer. Then he shall answer and say to them, truly I say unto you, As you did not do it to one of these, the least of mine, you did not do it to me. Depart from me into everlasting punishment. God is reminding us in his word that this kingdom that he has, we've talked about this already, is a kingdom of doing. It's a kingdom of accomplishing things for God. It's a kingdom of where God takes your life and my life and puts it to work to bring about results for his kingdom. And we need to know that that's something that God has reminded us of. I love it that Jesus said of the both sorts of people, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to me, you've done it to one of the least of these of mine, you did it to me. And I tell you truly, inasmuch as you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me." You know what a teacher one day, he was a teacher of law, and he came to Jesus, and he's asking what I'm asking this morning. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him to keep the commandments. He asked, which commandment? Now, I'll restate again that this one Jesus reminds us it's by grace that you and I have been saved, but that we are his workmanship. We are supposed to be producing some good things from our life that's going to cause the kingdom of God to go forward. He said to this man, to this teacher of the law that had asked him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And the second commandment is just like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. To love God, to love people, to love yourself. There's no commandment, Jesus said, greater than these. The teacher said to him, "Sir, you're right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and all your understanding and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all these burnt offerings that's being offered up. It's all these sacrifices." When Jesus saw and heard this man, he answered him and said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God. You are not far from the kingdom of God with that kind of an attitude. That your job, your purpose on planet Earth is to make sure you're loving God and make sure you're loving people and make sure you're loving yourself just the way God created you and just the way God loved you when his son Jesus died upon the cross." You know, God's going to teach us that now in this song. This song is a reminder that whatever you and I do for the Lord, we need to realize that sometimes we don't want to always accept the things that we're supposed to do. But in this song, it'll remind us
one
that
was standing on the corner with a tin cup in his hand. One was walking down the highway all alone. One was asking for my time when I had no more time to give. One was looking for a handout or a loan.
One came into our church with dirty hair and filthy clothes, tracking mud across our Christian floor. One was preaching on the sidewalk where no one stopped to hear, and two came and knocked on my front door.
It might be Jesus, it might be Jesus,
that lonely stranger, someone let in.
It might be someone you turned your back on. It might be Jesus. It might be him.
One was slowly frozen out of our little group of friends. Fanatic was the word I think we used. Finding fault with one another is what we do best. And for this, I fear we stand accused.
Sometimes even I, so freely bent to sin, in spite of myself, I will come through. Make no mistake, I know from whence it comes. Something down inside tells me what to do.
It might be Jesus. It might be Jesus.
That lonely stranger, someone let in.
It might be someone.
Well, Jesus wants us to understand that as we serve others, we serve Him. He wants us to go and spread the news of the kingdom of God is ready, and that God is willing to receive each and every one of us. You know, when I think about God, when I think about the kingdom of God, I think about it as a family unit, that when we are in the relationship of faith with Jesus, He calls us brothers and sisters. He's our Heavenly Father. He reminds us that we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible about the love that's in a family, from a dad to a son, is the prodigal son story. In that prodigal son, we realize that God is reminding us that we need to draw near to Him, and He will draw near to us. In that story, He's reminding that all of a sudden there was double-mindedness in the heart of that prodigal son. He wanted dad's money, but he didn't want dad. He didn't want home. He went away and he found out just how wretched a man he was. He was wretched and mourning and weeping, and all of a sudden his laughter as he was spending money was turned to mourning. And all of a sudden he humbled himself and he said, I'm going back home and I'm seeing Dad. You know, that's what God is telling us in the book of James chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will exalt you in due time. You know, that man got a job after his money was gone. And his job was taking care of pigs. I got to tell you, he says it in his own story. He was so hungry, he would have ate the pig food. And he's sitting there all by himself. And all of a sudden, I love the way this is said in the book of Luke. Finally, he came to his senses. That's the purpose of these messages that I've been saying and sharing, to help us understand that finally we as human beings, when we come to this point of our senses, we realize this one Jesus really loves us. He really cares about us. And he wants us to be a part of his family. And he wants it to be forever. You know what this young man, sitting there all by himself, he starts talking to himself. And he said, how many of my father's hired men have more food than I to eat? They got all kinds of food while I'm starving to death here. I'll go at once to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. Just make me one of your hired servants. That's all he wants. Make me one of your hired servants. So he got up from where he was and he went at once to his father. That was a long journey back to where his dad was. The journey was much quicker when he left with a pocket full of money, but now he's coming home with a broken heart. While he was still at a great distance, his father saw him, and his father felt sorry for him. And his father ran to his son. Remember what I said? Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. And when the father got to his son, he put his arms around him and he kissed him. And he was holding him tight and he was hugging him. Come unto me, Jesus said. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. I forfeited that. The father said to his servants, hurry, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, which was the idea of establishing him back unto the family. And the guy was barefooted, and put some sandals on his feet. And bring forth the fatted calf and kill it. And let us celebrate with a feast. My son was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and he's been found. And they begin to celebrate. That's God, and that's God. That Father is like God is to you and like God is to me. He's reaching out to each one of us. I've always loved that story to show the need to admit that we have sinned and we're not worthy to come to the Father. But we can come and ask for forgiveness and we can let him know we want to serve him. I love this father as he felt sorry for his son and came to him and loved on him. And the father had also restored him to the family fold. My son was dead. And now he's alive. He was lost. And now he is found. You know, in the book of Peter, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that on proper time he may exalt you. That's exactly what this father did to the prodigal son. And those of you this morning that may feel like a prodigal son, you need to realize the Father is there waiting and willing to love on you and to restore you back to the kingdom of God. That's what he is. That's the way he works. And that's the message he wants you and I to share with others. We want to accept that message for ourselves, but at the same time, we want to share that message with others. You know, one day, talking about this idea of sharing that message, one day Jesus' disciples had grown, those that were following him, those that was with him like every day, those that was listening to him teach. And one day he sent 70 disciples. Not just the 12, he sent 70 other disciples. He sent them in groups of two. So 35 groups of two he sent out into a town where he was ready to come into that town. And he reminded them that it was going to show that something was important to know, that the harvest is great. There's great opportunity for people to receive this one, the Lord Jesus. But the laborers are few. There's just a few people doing the work. And God wants us to know that we all should be doing the work if we've come to know this one, Jesus. So he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth workers. Let me just give you a short story about these 70 that he sent out. The 70 went out and he told them what to do. He provided everything for them. He told them what to do with their message. He told them how to respond when their message was rejected. And all of a sudden, the 70 returned. And they had such joy. You know, there's no greater joy than to help somebody else understand that Jesus loves them and that he cares for them. And they were filled with joy. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subjecting to us at your name when we mention you. The demons are even in subjection. And Jesus said to them, you know what? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven when he became so proud and was going to overcome God. He became the enemy of God. Behold, Jesus said to them, I did give you authority. I give you authority, that's the idea that you could trample on serpents and I would give you power and keep you safe. I give you power over the enemy. Nothing's going to hurt you. Nevertheless, listen to this now, folks. Nevertheless means a lot to you and I. Nevertheless, Jesus said to them, do not rejoice that everything was in obedience to your power that I gave to you. But you know what? Rather, rejoice that your names have been written down in heaven. Rejoice that you belong to the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying. We don't want to rejoice in whatever God uses us for. We need to rejoice that God uses us. I marvel at how God can use my life. I marvel even at 84 that I can sit here at my lighthouse and now it's daylight and I got a sunrise and it looks like it's going to be a beautiful morning. I got to tell you, folks, I marvel that I can do something for the Lord Jesus. And we need to know that's what God is reminding us of. This is something that is very special. And he said, remind yourself of what Jesus did to you and I. That's what he did way back there when Jesus sent out the 70. But you know, when Jesus was ready to go back into heaven, when he had finished all things that he had come here to do, that's when he told us, because we are the prized possession of his creation. Because God loves us so much before the planet Earth was ever even formed, that he says, I got something for you to do. Listen to the way he says it in Matthew 28. Jesus said to the disciples that were there at that mountain with him, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Get people to believe of all nations. And when somebody says they believe, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. Teach them the Christian life. Teach them the kingdom of God life. And behold, he said, I am with you always. I'm going to be there always, even to the end of the age, until the end of this period of life, your period of life, or when the kingdom of God is established and everything is set and this one, the Lord Jesus, returns to planet Earth and establishes his kingdom on planet Earth. Jesus sends you and I into the harvest field. He's sending you to your family and to your friends and to the people you know. And he wants you to go because all authority is given to you from this one Jesus to proclaim his name, that he is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Got one more set of scripture I'd like to share with you, and then a song that we'll listen to in closing. And this is reminding us, folks, that this is a beautiful thing that we have, that we're a part of the kingdom of God. But I want you to know something, folks, that Jesus said to the disciples that I need to hear and that you need to hear. He's told us, and he doesn't want it to go to our head, that we're the choice prize possession of all of his creation. He's so glad he created people. But he wants people to believe in him. One of my favorite verses along that line is, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. God wants us to rejoice that our names have been written in the book of life. Listen to what he says in the book of Colossians, and this will lead up to our song. He says, I want you to rejoice about when you walk your Christian life, walk it in a manner worthy of the Lord. He wants you and I to be fully pleasing to him. He wants us to bear fruit in every good work. And he wants us to increase in the knowledge of God. He wants us to be strengthened with the power according to the greatest glorious might for all endurance and peace, patience he wants us to have, and joy. He wants us to give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Did you get that word? We are inheritance. We are inheriting this kingdom of God. He goes on to say, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the beloved Son, in whom have redemption and forgiveness of sin. All these messages that I've been sharing, different ways that he describes his kingdom to us. He wants us to be busy doing the work that he's given us to do. He wants us to understand that that is something that is a part of his life to us and our life to him. And he wants us to know that's what he wants to bring about in our life, so that we can go forward and that the kingdom of God will go forward. You see, when you and I do the work that God has given us to do, it gives us such fulfillment and gives us such joy in our life that is better than anything you can ever think of that you've ever done. And there's no greater joy than to know you help somebody else to understand that God loves them and that God cares for them and God wants them to be a part of his kingdom as we share our faith in one another. This song that we're going to listen to in closing, it's been around for a long time. But sometimes it's a reminder that sometimes as a Christian, we just want to enjoy all the things of the Christian life. And God is saying to us, you know what? The greatest joy you can have in your Christian life is if you are going to be willing to go and you're going to be willing to share the message of God's love that he's given to you in such a way that others may come to know this great and mighty God. This song is called My Father's House is Full. My Father's House is Full. But he wants to have laborers in the field. Let's listen in. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share these messages
there
with you.
Peace.
Here we go.
Contentment in the Father's house today. Lots of food on his table and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the scene as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? Push away.